Willkommen bei Marketer Talk, dem Podcast der Marketingbörse. Hier erwarten euch spannende Gesprächsrunden und Interviews mit Experten aus der Marketingszene.
We're here in Berlin at Signal and I'm talking to Matt Cortland. He is AI engineer and creator of Gindex. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
First, you have to explain to me, what is Gindex?
Yeah, so the Gindex is a Guinness index. It's a database of Guinness prices across Ireland and the UK of what a Guinness costs at thousands of venues and pubs and restaurants.
How do you get that information?
Oh, it's a difficult piece of information to get, and it's not online. So I created a voice AI agent. I named Rachel.
Wait, before we continue. Yeah, well, how many Guinness did you have before you had that idea?
Well, I'm married to an Irishman, so I think a lot okay. Of Guinness.
Okay, and what was the reason for that idea?
Well, I was in Dublin for work, and I used to live in Dublin as well, so I know the city really well. And I was charged almost €8 for a pint. And I know, though, I can go two doors down and get it for €5. So what's going on? And the pricing in Dublin is so different depending on what street you're at, depending on what venue you're at, that like there's something, what's going on? I was curious to know what actually is the cost of Guinness these days, and how do I find that out?
And you were curious, and so you just did that, and now it's online? No.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Well, but they don't kill you if you're there, the pubs, they don't kill you. If I charge twice the price, and next door is another one, wow,
Well, what was interesting is because the data that I collected through voice calls acted as the base layer of information. And I made the website, the Gindex website, in a way that people can continue to add prices and log prices. So now you have thousands more entries from people who are logging their own prices of Guinness. What you found is there are places in Dublin you can get it for €5. There are places in Dublin €11. Like, that is a crazy, crazy difference. And what it actually speaks to is places taking advantage of tourists, I think, is really like what you're seeing there. But also just where you can go for a great deal. Also, where's the mix of quality versus price, right? Because you don't always want the cheapest thing. You don't need the cheapest thing. You want the best experience possible.
That's it. I mean, Matt, we are talking, our readers are marketing people.
Mm.
And of course, they want a high price, but they have to earn it. So what information do you provide additionally, except only the price? You are not just a price comparison.
Correct. So I got the information about pubs from the Google Places API, so Google Maps. So with that, the number of reviews, the rating from Google Maps, so you're able to see how highly rated somewhere is versus the price. And so where is the middle point between how good it is versus how cheap it is. Additionally, I did like a data analysis of all the names of all the Irish pubs and English pubs to see what comes from that, because it tells you a lot about a culture, the naming of things. You know, in England, there's a higher rate of royal named pubs. In Scotland, very few royal named pubs. You know, in Ireland, you have a lot of Irish language pubs. It just tells you something about the richness of a place, even from the Irish language. What pubs can you go to where they only speak Irish, or in Wales where they speak Welsh? And I think that those are just other decision making factors that someone might want to know when deciding where to go.
And you can find out stories about the pub. I mean, I just did research on this location here, and we went two steps down, and there is a old World War II things down there, and it's amazing. And so the same applies for the pubs. Probably some of them have 100, 200 years old history.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I went one step further and went into the census data and the statistical data from the Irish government and the UK government to determine, okay, well, what metrics has the government been tracking that might be relevant for this industry? So in Ireland and England, they track the cost of how much a pint is every year, how much a dram of whiskey is, how much a lager is. And what I found in Ireland was they stopped tracking from 1970 to 2011. They tracked the cost of a pint of stout, which is Guinness, right? And then they stopped for some reason tracking that metric. And so it left this very interesting gap in the information, because in 2011, it was like €3.80 for a pint of Guinness. But I had just paid €7.80. And a lot's happened since 2011 to now. I mean, the world's been closed like two times over. So, but this price difference is something else is going on there. And what is it? It's just interesting, open question that I wanted to find the answer to. And in doing so, that's the point of this was research, but it's created a marketing opportunity because, I mean, I'm not being paid by Guinness, but here we are talking about like a brand that people really love, and their passion for that brand is like clearly obvious, and it creates marketing opportunities, I think, for brands that want to activate in different ways.
This is for customers who want to drink a Guinness, or do you also offer services to the pub owners themselves as a B2B branch of the things you are doing?
Yes, so I made it possible for pub owners to go and claim their listing within the Guindex to be able to correct the information or add to it. But really, anyone can go and correct the it's open for anyone, like Wikipedia, everyone can edit it. At the minute, I'm not selling any service to any pub for any B2B service. That could be something that we do, but really, I just think this is just a fun, interesting use case that can help drive good business to pubs that are doing good work. And as a former pub owner myself, I just want to give as much good business to good actors and good pub owners as possible.
You do have the database. Sure. You do have a lot of information about market information.
Yes.
Pub owners usually do not have so much information about marketing and things like that. And on the other hand, you have a technical platform with Twilio to contact. So people who want to contact the system can be contacted automatically. So these three things taken together, and an AI engineer who is curious in experimenting, why can't I phone your system? Just call it, because I'm a pub owner. I'm not used to chatting. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I want to call you and tell me something about what can I do in marketing for my pub? And probably you could give an answer.
I think I probably could give an answer. It's a good idea. I will add that in. A feature I want to add in, though, is rating the Guinness itself, because it's not just the price and it's not just the stars. It's how good is that pint? Is it what's the ratio of its head to the rest of it? Has someone waited for it to settle for 119.5 seconds? Like, there are all these other things. How cold is it? Are the lines clean? Like, Irish people, and I know this from having an extended Irish family now, right? Just loves to rate Guinness and talk about the quality of Guinness. And that's just another fun way to engage people through images and through like just pulling them in a little bit more to what's going on.
We are here on a Twilio conference and you gave a lecture there. What is the connection to Twilio?
So all of the phone calls that my voice AI was made through Twilio's infrastructure.
You call the pubs to ask questions or which voice calls?
So the AI agent that I made, she was a voice agent and she called every single pub in our.
No, come on. You really did that?
Yeah. Yeah. She called every pub and she said, hey, just hoping you could tell me the cost of a pint of Guinness. One single research question. And then the person responded and great. So thanks so much. Have a great day. Have a lovely day. Hang with the phone. 20 to 25 second interaction, a single data point, which is what is the price? And then I extracted that price from the transcripts and made this index that people can keep adding to. But none of that would have been possible without Twilio's infrastructure, right? Like it's like the backbone of how that kind of
thing. Then Twilio has to fund you. I mean, you're doing good job for Twilio. Try to do that. That's a great idea. Absolutely. Okay, so I got the connection now. because so I don't have to ask my next question, because in Germany, for example, we have a system where you compare the gas stations. And so you don't plan anything like that.
Yeah. So we, every country has something, a different metric they highly value. In Ireland, that's Guinness. Okay. In the US, that's gas, petrol. In a lot of countries, it is. So we built, after the Guinness, we built a gas index of America. And we.
Wait. You built, I mean, I was just for fun, I was asking that question. Yeah. You did that.
Yes.
Okay, you're a great inventor, so you have a lot of ideas, and so it's the Guinness, probably, which makes you so creative.
Hey, that must be it, yeah. Okay. After a few more, I get more creative.
Okay, I see. Okay, what about the gas index?
Yeah, well, we called, again, it's about the, because the cost, especially like since the war in Iran, has gone up like dramatically, and so it's understanding, like, what does that mean, and how do you make abstract data understandable for someone. And so we called all of the gas stations in America that were missing the fuel price index point from Google, because Google gets about 50% of America. They're logging what the cost of regular gas is from partnerships with like credit card companies. And so they're able to kind of get what that is, but they're missing 50% of the data. And the 50% of the data they're missing are small independent, you know, gas stations, the gas stations that actually really need people to go to them. So we called the other half of the missing data to try to bring the data up, and then built a way for someone to just take a picture of the pump, no matter where they are. And it like extracts with AI the price at that moment and then updates the gas station so it can stay up to date. But that proved like it's a larger scale than we did with the Irish index. But what it showed is that price point changes so quickly, that's really hard to nail down. Because if it changes every day, that you have to keep refreshing and refreshing and refreshing. Whereas the price of a pint of Guinness will stay pretty standard, at least for a little bit. So it was just a different challenge that presented its own results. And we used a different voice. So we used a Southern American voice to call every gas station, say, you know, tell everyone they're. And we named them after King of the Hill. So we had Bobby Hill, Hank Hill, Peggy Hill from the TV show that, you know, just rebooted in America. So yeah, it's just a bit of like how you can get a hard to understand data point that's like, how do you get that out with AI and what do you do with it? And then we related it to say, okay, well, you know, since the war in Iran, price has risen by this much. So if you have this type of car, it's costing you another $50 every time you fill up. That is X number of eggs. That is X gallons of milk. That is, you know, X loaves of bread. And then we localized it for, so in Philadelphia, they love Philadelphia cheesesteaks. How many Philly cheesesteaks is that? How many? So we took a cult thing that people love and then said, okay, this is how many trips to Disney World that is. This is, so just try to think of how we can reach people in different ways.
Okay. And this is your company, or are you working for a company, or is it just after work?
Yeah, no. So I'm a consultant, an AI consultant, and I just generally work with companies to help them build their AI infrastructure. So I have like, you know, retainer clients, and then I have project-based work. So it's just me.
Tell a little bit about the projects. What kind of projects? Do you do anything with market AI applications in marketing? Yeah. Because that's where our customers are interested in. What do you do?
Yeah, so the,
for example,
I mean, the company I had before this was a B2C, like a B2C company, right? It was immersive experience, bar and restaurants. And so like a lot of experience in marketing, a lot of experience in advertising, and how you kind of create a digital experience that can lend to an in-person thing that can feed back to a digital. So when I think about problems and solving them with AI, I approach it from a marketing perspective, and I approach it from a press perspective, especially like, how do you activate press and media? How do you work with influencers to amplify and piggyback on their brands and get things out? And so, yeah, I build things with that perspective, which is different than how someone without a marketing background might look at problems. I find it to be really useful.
One of the things in marketing is artificial target groups. Mm. which we can use for market research. That means we use our CRM data, and from the CRM data, we set up a system where the marketing people can ask, would our customers like this or would they like that? What do you think about things like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's training a model based on your individualized data and the insights that you have about those customers, their age group, gender, demographics, whatever it is, and then what their purchasing decision-making has been historically. But that kind of like large data crunching is only really possible with AI, right? It was possible before, but on the scale of what you can, and the way you can query that data set, your own custom data set, and say, well, based on historic purchasing patterns, would this product sell? Or how would this, even looking at ad copy or marketing copy, which based on the history of how that this kind of campaigns is performed previously, like what does that mean from a decision making to kind of come up with a product at the end that's closer to something that can convert?
One of the problems of LLMs is that they want to please me and they give me a positive answer, which means hallucination. So they even lie to me just to make me happy. Yeah. Do you think, or do you have to do with this problem? Do you solve that problem? I mean, the LLMs will solve it themselves, hopefully. How do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a big problem, like definitely a problem. So you have to program in like anti-sycophancy into your prompts to say, like, don't be sycophantic. You have to explicitly say that. But if you look at it from the perspective of, okay, the LLM is trying to please you. Right? That's its goal, is to please you. And if you reframe it, instead of asking a question as you, you say, a friend of mine asked me this question and he's going to be upset with me if I'm not honest with him about the truth. And I want to make sure that I'm honest because I don't want my friend to be really angry at me. So I need you to analyze this so I can give him a real answer. And so then it's trying to please you in giving a critical response to a question. So it's prompt engineering and tricking the LLM to please you. But the thing that pleases you is being critical. It's a bit of a head.
Do you give courses in companies for prompting and prompt engineering?
Yeah, I mean, prompt engineering is really fascinating, and the results that you can get, because like not all of your ideas are great. Probably most of them are not great, and you need like to be able to know what is actually good and what is just fake. And you can only do that by either having a sense of yourself and what's actually good and critical thinking, plus like something that's just not going to make you feel good about yourself.
What do you think about AI agents in the sense of that I have a companion as a marketing manager? I have a companion who has the skills, even specialized skills. I have a SEO guy, I have a geo guy, I have someone for CRM.
Yep.
So I do have my personal assistants.
Yeah, so those types of things work well when you give them specific tasks.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, if you try to make an AI agent that does all of these things.
The person has a name.
Has a role.
And he has a role, or she has a role and a name and a specific task where she says, okay, this is not the CEO guy says, no, ask her. She is GEO and this is not SEO. This is GEO,
yep.
For example.
Yeah, that kind of stuff works especially well when you have an orchestrator agent that is the one that is
that would be the next question.
Yeah, that needs an orchestrator agent or you as the orchestrator. But really the structure you'd want is you, the human, the orchestrator agent reports to you, the individual sub-agents report to the orchestrator agent, and then you are giving critical feedback. And also seeing that their chain of logic as you go and auditing that every once in a while to make sure that they're making decisions that actually like make sense and why. And asking it why. Like, don't just give an opinion, explain your reasoning as to why you reach this conclusion. Even from a press campaign perspective, like I work a lot with PR. You know, you've got a database of journalists, right? And you want to go out to them and you say, okay, well, I've got 4 journalists at the New York Times. Which journalist do I go out to, right? 4th and exclusive, right? And you have it explain, read through and understand and say, well, this person wrote about this most recently, so this is why you should choose this person over this person. But it's really just giving that agent the context to be able to make the decisions and then forcing them to explain their context to you so it doesn't just lie, which probably will lie anyway to an extent. So you got to be careful.
Matt, thank you very much for all the information with you gave us. And the last sentences, they were the most important, I think, for AI, for companies and people who want to use AI. Be critical, let the system be transparent. I think that's important. Anything to add?
So thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
Das war's auch schon mit der heutigen Episode. Wir hoffen natürlich, dass sie euch gefallen hat und würden uns sehr gerne über eine Bewertung freuen. Wenn ihr keine Folgen verpassen wollt, abonniert gerne den Marketer Talk der Marketingbörse. In diesem Sinne, vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und bis zum nächsten Mal.